your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At Dave Gill Chevrolet, we have back-to-school savings all month long. Check out our incredible selection of the latest Chevrolet models, including the rugged Silverado, the versatile Trax, and the stylish Equinox. We pride ourselves on exceptional customer service and unbeatable deals. So what are you waiting for? Visit us online at DaveGillChevy.com or stop by our dealership at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus. Dave Gill Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. See dealer for complete details.
Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends, and welcome if you're new. Today I'm going to be sharing some creepy and downright strange deep woods and camping horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit that story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below this video. You can also go to Reddit and submit it at r/thedarkswamp. Now, without further ado, let's jump right into these creepy and strange horror stories from the woods that'll freak you out tonight. Fishing Trip Turned Creepy by King Fisher. I was going into my senior year in high school. The summer was not quite over yet, and I had a few weeks before, and it was back to tedious task all day. I had a few hours to burn waiting for a girl I was seeing to get back from a party. It was somewhere around 11 at night. I decided to drive back to an old spot in the woods about 20 minutes from the girl's house. This had been a spot where my great uncle had taken me fishing as a kid. Since his passing 2 years prior, I have only been out to this spot a few times. In the lake sat an old cemetery with graves marked from the 1700s. George Washington's drummer happened to be buried at the foot of the lake. Other graves marked the passing of entire families from diseases like typhoid fever. Some graves were not legible after centuries of weathering. This place always had a distinct feeling to it. It was often hushed and felt desolate. As my friends would say, I'm a crazy guy. So I decided to take my green Tacoma out on the road alone in the middle of the night. I had my truck rigged for off-roading, so the long drive on a gravel road heading for the spot was no problem. Potholes and sharp turns usually keep too many guests out of this area. Tucked behind miles of woods was a cemetery overlooking an old reservoir used for drinking water in many surrounding towns. The woods, they looked like they were in the middle of the wilderness here. Giant pines covered most of the shores of the crystal clear lake. This was a pretty lonely spot, so I felt excited to get here and spend some time alone. I wanted to reminisce on old memories of catching big bass and spending days on the water with my great uncle. This kind of adventure was typical for me. I would ride my bike 20 miles a day as a kid out to fishing spots in the middle of nowhere. I am pretty tough to shake. I'm not Iron Man by any means, but I'm also not scared of a twig snapping or something of that like. I've always been the kind of guy who would step in when things start to hit the fan and get things done. I've carried friends who have had broken legs with bones through the skin, rushed heart attack victims to the ER, and all sorts of gruesome stuff, but none of that really ever bothered me. Soon, this unshakable attitude would change. I decided to drive down to the lake's edge and sit with my windows down. The sounds of the frogs and crickets were the only sounds of the night. All was well. I checked the time out of good cell service and decided to head back. My road home started with a steep gravel road through the mountains. I put on my high beams to spot deer and climbed up the hill in my truck. I looked ahead at some trees, smaller in diameter and tightly packed together. They littered my view. A flash darting through the gaps in the trees caught my attention. I spotted what looked like a pale figure, no more than 4 feet tall if I had to guess, very skinny and very fast. Still, miles away from the nearest house or gas station, the mood turned from a fun trip down memory lane to a feeling that I told myself I would never forget. I don't know what I saw. I didn't see any prominent features, but rather I just saw a pale gray figure whipping between the trees at inhuman speeds. I am open-minded when it comes to cryptids now. I don't know what kind of cryptid this could have been, if any at all. I didn't want to stick around to find out though. My truck fishtailed as I peeled out down the gravel road, drifting every corner. I didn't realize I was crying until I exited the woods. If I can say anything, they're just horrifying. What was it that I saw? If anyone knows, please let me know in the comments. What Did We See in the Woods? By Henry S. My name is Henry. I was 10 at the time when this happened. I was tall for my age, standing at about 5 feet. This will be significant later. I had two friends who lived across the street. One was 13, we will call him Caden, and the other was 12, we will call him Tatum. Being the youngest, I was the smallest and wasn't believed when making a claim. But that evening, they began to feel my claims in a more serious light. I live in rural Kentucky. That evening, we decided to head to a nearby abandoned barn on a small farm. This was soon one of the worst nights of my existence. We jumped the fence and strolled into the woods. This is the point where I felt a slight urge to run the other way. But I figured it was just the ambient feeling of being in the woods. The feeling left when we hit the clearing where the ominous barn and its surrounding tool shed were. We ran into the barn to avoid being seen by the property owner. We noticed 5 chests stacked on top of each other as we entered the barn. 4 of them were locked with giant industrial locks. I saw the top one was unlocked, so I opened it. But before I did, we had to talk about it, and we determined what's the worst that could happen. It would be fine. Boy, were we wrong. We all opened it at the same time because it was heavy. It was at this moment that everything went wrong. The box contained feathers that looked like human hair and bone. The barn began to creak and groan. There was a small black cat that resided in the barn. We heard it screaming outside. We looked into the shed, and that's when we saw it. A 10-foot-tall, dusty brown man in what only I could describe as a gas mask. It had a balloon in one hand and a bat in the other. It looked malnourished, as if skinny, with dirty clothes that would peel off at any second. It never moved a centimeter. We all froze. The dread intensified. The barn shook on its boards, and, honestly, we counted from 3, and we all ran. The thing never moved. It never chased us, but the dread follows me to this day. I still wonder what that thing was, and what was in the other 4 chests. For my girlfriend's birthday, I took her to Gatlinburg, a popular, touristy, one-main boardwalk town in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. We camped the first night, a few miles out in the woods at a popular location called Elkmont Campground. The campground was beautiful. Tall green trees, like baby redwoods. A clear water river scattered by checkered rocks. Families with little ones running around. Through borrowing a tent, we found that we had no stakes and headed into town for supplies, whiskey, and hot dogs. It was dusk by the time we made it back to the campground. Most campers were surrounding their dissipating fires, or cleaning up before the quickly approaching dark of night fell over us. Our tent was still not entirely set up, but rather crunched up without the stakes allowing it to spread open as widely as it could. We fixed our tent and started a fire. As our night progressed, we found ourselves surrounding our campfire 2 to 3 hours later around midnight. Now, this was the sort of campground where another campsite is just 30 yards from yours. Bears frequent the area, and my girlfriend was already freaking out a little bit, which is why I booked our site in the dead center of the whole campground. All the other campers had gone to bed at this time, and the only sound we could hear was the slowing crackle of our fire and the light stream of river flowing into rocks. The clouds were covering a crescent moon, so there wasn't too much light to begin with. We had flashlights, and I would occasionally shine the light around us while avoiding hitting other campers to confirm that there was nobody around us or no bears. Seemingly out of nowhere, from the campsite behind my girlfriend and to my left, a light shone directly on us and then all around in a frantic yet focused manner, kind of like the Eye of Sauron from The Lord of the Rings. What appeared to be a man with the strangest gait I have ever seen wore a headlight and was focused on his picnic table. The man's gait seemed to be like that of Jar Jar Binks, just not normal. Through a peripheral stare of my own, the man focused his light on the picnic table, and whenever I turned my head toward him, immediately his light would be hitting my girlfriend and me. It's like he was looking straight at us from his peripheral as well. I could only see the outline of the man through the light of his headlight, and the occasional flash of my light at his campsite, once he continued to flash his light at ours in a very disconcerting way. This was the campsite across from us where we saw no one all night prior. I could only see the outline of his body, as all black was as if he was in a black bodysuit. His movements were eerily repetitious. For what went on close to an hour, this man would shine his headlight on his picnic table, make limited motions with his hands, if any at all, then walk 5 steps back to his tent, shine his headlight at his tent, walk back to the table, shine his light at us, then all over again. If this was just a man looking for something, he was on a cocktail of drugs, that's for sure. Once his light was on us for too long, that made me start to feel uncomfortable, I shined my flashlight on him for an extended time. It was at this moment when I went from annoyed to fight or flight. A chill ran down my back and I saw the outline of the man disappear in front of me. The light from his headlight bounced down to the ground and then flew across the ground from his campsite and seemed to jump along the ground into the bushes diagonal from our campsite. Not as if the headlight had been thrown, but as if he was running across the ground on all fours. I took my flashlight away and watched his light slowly come back out of the bushes and climb back up into the height of a person. The shadow figure returned, walking out of the bushes and back to the campsite to continue the odd behavior. There were no sounds at all coming from this figure through the entirety of the night. Sometime later, we went into the tent for shut-eye, and the shadow figure was still in his odd routine. The following day, the tent from the shadow man's campsite was gone, like no one was ever there. I found out, just a mile from the campsite, in a small town called Elkmont Ghost Town, with abandoned buildings and cemeteries and everything, that a lot of tragic stuff happened there. I don't know if I could really connect them together, but maybe there's something to it.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
My sister and I take our 5 kids on road trips every single year, all over the country. This year, we decided to stay a little closer to her home and drove about 6 hours to Fort Davis, Texas. We stayed at a campsite in the state park there. The camping sites are broken into groups that branch off the main road. We were there, and probably were the only people there for a while, except for the camp host. And they were across the street and two or three other campsites over. Our site was big and surrounded by bushes, and it sat on a small creek. The first night we were there, a big thunderstorm moved in at about bedtime. We had a large tent, and then a small one-person tent for the boys to share. My nephew and my son are ages 8 and 9. They were going to sleep in the smaller tent while the rest of us were in the big one. Once the storm really got going, my nephew became scared and wanted to come into the big tent. Didn't want my son to be alone, so I grabbed my pillow and went into the small one with him. It stopped raining and we fell asleep. I woke up sometime later in the night. I really have no idea what time it was. I didn't have my phone with me. I was just lying there awake for no apparent reason. I started to hear a weird sound about a foot or so away from the tent on the right side. I can only describe it as what was a huge bug with wings, like something the size of my hand. Like if a giant mosquito would be the size of a baseball, that's how I thought it would sound, hitting the side of my tent. Basically a loud fluttering noise. But it didn't make any sense. It was the middle of the night, and I knew nothing was touching my tent. Then, right underneath this sound came what sounded like an animal-like exhale. Really jagged, and almost a growling type noise. Not human, and from something much bigger and louder than the fluttering. The sound was maybe at knee level. Both sounds started to travel in front of my tent, toward the creek. There was never an inhale, just a long exhale. It could have been an inhale either way, there was no break, and it never changed. Then, at the last second, as it's about to pass, I hear feet under it. They sound more like they're coming from heavy work boots of a grown man. After it passes, I got a huge whiff of a musky odor that smelled absolutely terrible. I was so scared that I couldn't move and had to just breathe slowly. I have never felt that kind of fear before, and I did not understand what I had just experienced. The next day there were no tracks, even though there was a lot of mud. I thought at first maybe it was a mountain lion, but they are extremely quiet. My sister spoke with the park ranger that was around, and they said it was probably a javelina going to the creek. But I don't think it was a freaking pig, okay? There were two distinct footsteps underneath it, not like four hooves. None of these sounds make any sense together, and I have never heard anything like that breathing or fluttering ever since. Not to mention how big the footsteps sounded for how low the breathing was coming from. If you have any ideas, please share. Most people usually think I'm making it up to scare them, or I'm exaggerating. But if anything, I'm not emphasizing it enough. This was primal terror. I was literally frozen with fear, and could not feel my body. I just want to know what this thing possibly was. I'm a big fan of horror stories. There's nothing better than sitting home on a cold, rainy day, listening to allegedly true horror stories, wrapped tight in a giant blanket, pretending to be a human burrito. But listening to these stories on Swamp Dweller's show and experiencing them is a road I never wish to cross again. I, myself, am an 18-year-old dude from a small country in Europe. I have a good body build from all those years in the gym and an excess amount of protein. I've lived my life in the biggest cities in my country, but I have never shied away from going to the countryside to get a bit of that countryman life. So, in the summer of 2019, I and two of my friends, Martin and a guy everybody called Wolf, decided to go binge drinking in a log cabin that was located some 35 miles from the nearest city. It doesn't seem that far, but none of us had driver's licenses at the time. So, at about 7 p.m., we hopped on a train and went to the woods. From where we had to walk about 3 miles to the glorious two-story log cabin. Inside, On the ground floor, there was a kitchen and a bedroom. Upstairs on the second floor, there was a small hallway which led to another bedroom with separate beds. I and Wolf established our presence in the second floor bedroom, and Martin settled down in the ground floor bedroom, like the little loner he is. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. We were prepping food and drinks, listening to music, never minding that we were in the middle of the woods, miles away from the nearest civilization. But we had lots of drinks and snacks. So what else would we need, am I right? About a half a mile away from the cabin, there was this massive pond. After a couple of beers, we went there, thinking we could go for a swim. But seeing the unnaturally dark water and a little forest of reeds, we decided that it probably was not worth getting rashes from the dirty water or cutting our legs on whatever litter might be roaming on the bottom. And we made our way back to the cabin. The evening was extraordinarily beautiful and peaceful. The red and purple sky was stunning, accompanied by the giant bonfire we made for the night full of marshmallow roasting and drinking. When the nighttime came, we were quick to drink, and it was about 1 a.m. We were all in a good state of drunkenness, some more than others because Martin was already passed out in his folding chair. Wolf and I carried him to his room and put him in his bed, leaving all the doors wide open. Everything outside was pitch black, and our smart asses didn't bring a flashlight. But with one friend sleeping and us getting bored, we decided to walk back to that pond we went to previously and make a small campfire. But as we got near the trail that leads to the woods, we heard leaves crunching and twigs snapping, like somebody was quickly walking just behind the trees about 30 feet in front of us. We quickly stopped. Wolf whispered, "Hey, I think someone's there." "It can't be. It's a private territory. Must be the wind or something," I said. Being quite drunk and actively brave, I loudly shouted, "If there's someone there, put your freaking hands up in the air." Yeah, very mature, I know. But then, the sound stopped. It was as if whatever was making those sounds was never even there. Not being able to see because of the darkness, we got a bit creeped out and started to walk back towards the cabin, talking about how funny it would be if somebody lifted their hands in the air after saying that. But what I heard then made my heart sink. From inside of the cabin, we heard an ear-piercing scream. It was Martin. We rushed to the entrance of the cabin. Then we saw it. A pale, gray-skinned humanoid creature. It was probably about 5 feet tall with disproportionately long arms and webbed fingers. Its legs were bent backwards and were super skinny. The face had two giant black eyes and a mouth that was open, showing a row of long, pointy teeth. The creature was holding Martin's leg while he was screaming inhumanly loud. I never thought a human could produce such a high-pitched scream. The thing had to run past us at some point and get out of the cabin. So I was scared and wanted to pee myself. We had to somehow get past this thing to get inside. Thinking quickly, we picked the biggest pieces of firewood and started throwing it at the creature. We both missed, but luckily it let go of Martin's leg and jumped back into the forest. We quickly dragged Martin back inside, closed all of the doors and windows, locking ourselves in the second floor bedroom, backs pressed against the door. Martin's leg was pretty badly scratched. We poured vodka on the wound and DIY bandaged his leg. The rest of the night we heard scratching at the entrance and the windows. We were afraid it would break the windows and get inside, but to our luck, it never did. At one point, the scratching stopped, so Wolf went to the window and checked if it was gone. But to his horror, it was standing outside the window, looking straight at him. When the sun came up, we checked through all the windows for the creature. It looked like it was gone. We had to get out of the woods. After a couple of hours of being absolute scared out of our mind, we finally grew a pair and started running as fast as we could. The journey to the train station was the longest of my entire life. I was afraid to see that creature again, but we managed to get home safe. We've never told anybody what we saw. I never really believed in those scary stories that I used to listen to either. The creature was similar looking to the Dover Demon, but not quite exactly. I still do not know why the creature didn't attack me and Wolf. Maybe it saw Martin as easy prey while he was in his drunken state. But I'm happy it all ended safely. I think the creature came from that pond. Those webbed hands indicate that the creature is semi-aquatic. So whether I'm right or wrong, I'm super glad that we didn't go for a swim there. It could have ended so much worse if it had. About 5 years ago, my wife and I went on a weekend camping trip with our two closest friends, who are also another married couple. The campsite is just outside of Yosemite, and is absolutely beautiful. The beauty of it, and creepiness of it, is that you take a dirt road for about an hour and a half off the main road to get to it. It is extremely secluded, but never felt threatening. It's a popular campsite, so there were always people around, especially in the summer months when this occurred. The first day was awesome. I don't remember exactly what we did, but I remember having a great time. The campsites are all close together and usually separated by various shrubs. I remember we were all pumped about the site we got, as there were no neighbors on one side, just forest, and no one occupying the site next to us. This is pretty uncommon, as these campgrounds stay fully booked throughout the summer. Day two started normally. We had breakfast, then headed to the lake for a couple of hours. The lake was about a 20-minute hike from the main campground. When we got back at around 2-ish, we noticed that the site next to us now had a silver rental car parked on it. We didn't think too much of it and went about our way making our fire to start our cooking. At some point we noticed the occupant of the site next to us, an average-looking white guy, maybe in his early 40s. Honestly, he was so average-looking that it was hard to even picture him. We all immediately caught on to the fact that he was constantly looking over at us. My friend Dave made a comment to me under his breath. "You notice this guy keeps looking over here, right?" I remember feeling a little uncomfortable, as we were still in bathing suits from the lake, but I made a conscious effort to ignore it. It's worth mentioning that we were a little buzzed and drunk. Not out of control or anything, just feeling pretty good. Throughout the afternoon and into the evening, we continued to notice the guy constantly looking over at us. In hindsight, Dave or I should have called out to him. The story doesn't really make us look great, but whatever. I had been stressed at work prior to the trip, and really didn't want to let some creepy dude throw off my relaxed vibe. This is stupid, I know. The alcohol, coupled with the fact that we honestly kind of felt bad for him, led us to not confront him. Yes, it was very creepy, but I told myself he was just an awkward, lonely guy, and tried to think nothing of it. Aside from the staring, there were a couple of other weird incidents that occurred leading up to the very weird stuff. The first was that at some point, he left his site to go do whatever. While he was gone, a girl, probably in her mid-20s around our age, walked by and snapped a picture of his license plate. I remember asking her if she needed anything, and she smiled awkwardly and kept walking. Dave and I both thought this was odd, but we were preoccupied with beer. Later into the evening, around 7-ish, the camp host was doing her rounds checking people in. She checked us in and moved on to him. I remember us all eavesdropping intently to hear what they were saying. I think we just wanted to hear what this creep sounded like. He kept asking questions about the bathhouse. We didn't know that there was a bathhouse, or even what a bathhouse was. But he had 100 different questions about it. Where is it? How late is it open? Is it private? Maybe not that weird, but in context, odd. The sun started to go down. We were all drunk, so we weren't too concerned with Creepy Dude anymore. At one point, we all went for a walk and noticed him snooping around on what we believed to be the bathhouse. Now, I would kind of call out this behavior in hindsight, but again, I was drunk and 5 years stupider at this time. We all laughed and talked about how creepy he was. Back at the site, we continued to drink and have a good time. At one point, the guy started eating beans aggressively out of a can in the light of a single lantern, with no fire. He looked at us while doing it the entire time, and Dave and I kind of snickered to each other at how weird it was. I don't think the girls noticed. Eventually, we decided to go to bed. I think the guy had left his sight again at this point. I kind of remember us making jokes. I better not wake up to that dude looking in our window. My wife and I slept in our SUV with the seats folded down, Dave and Sarah slept in the camper shell of their truck. I remember feeling a little creeped out as I fell asleep but shrugged it off. At around 2:30 a.m., both my wife and I were jolted awake by what sounded like a woman's scream. We both looked at each other and asked if we both heard that. We concluded that it was probably some other people being loud, and we decided to go back to sleep. As I was trying to go back to sleep, I started to feel very unsettled. I decided to get out of the car and look around. I cracked my door, trying to be as quiet as possible. I had gotten about one leg out of the car when I heard a faint but direct whispering coming from Dave and Sarah's camper shell about 4 feet away. I froze, and then heard it again. I eventually realized that they were trying to tell me something. I whispered back, "What?" And I heard Dave clearly say, "Start your car." I instantly realized that something was wrong. So rather than ask questions, I climbed back in to start my car. Right away, Dave and Sarah burst out of the back of the camper and frantically jumped into my car. They told me to drive. They were too freaked out to explain, so I drove kind of aimlessly. Eventually, I pulled over, figuring that we were far enough from whatever had freaked them out. Finally, Sarah calmed down enough to tell us what had happened. As she put it, she was woken by a light coming from the creepy dude's campsite. Apparently, he had set up lanterns and flashlights to spotlight himself completely naked, masturbating in the direction of our cars. She also mentioned that he was flaccid and not able to finish. A gross detail, but I feel it's important for you all to know, because if I have to suffer with it, so do you guys. It gets weirder. At some point, he stopped and turned off the lights and began using a flashlight to signal across a small ravine that campsite's backed up to. I'm talking like Morse code stuff. Across the ravine, an old RV began using its headlights to signal back. Dave was awake by this point. I questioned them on this detail, and they both said it was very clear that they were communicating. After that, he turned off his light. Keep in mind, it is absolutely pitch black out there at night. After a few minutes, they heard footsteps around their car, followed by a hard tap on the window. That is when Sarah started screaming, hence waking me up. At this point, I decided that we needed to call the police. The problem was there was absolutely zero cell service at the campsite. Furthermore, it was about an hour and a half to get to any sort of civilization. Plus, leaving at night wasn't really an option. We decided the best course of action was to stay alert and keep the camp host up to date with what was happening. We drove around and eventually found the trailer she lived in. She was understandably confused to be woken up at 3:30 in the morning, but was responsive. She mentioned that the guy was weird when she checked him in and called the police on her satellite phone. Apparently, there was a massive wildlife fire burning that weekend, and the police said they wouldn't be able to send anyone out until sunrise. The camp host said there really wasn't anything else she could do beyond calling the police. It really sucked hearing that. Basically, we were stuck in our car in the pitch blackness, while some crazy masturbating dude was out and about. Not to mention, whoever was in that RV. One more weird thing happened, though. At around 4 a.m., we were all still sitting in my car when a man in a hood walked right up to the window. The second I noticed him, I turned on my engine and headlights. He ran off into the trees. We all sat in my car until sunrise. Once it was light out, we went back to the site to pack up our things. His car was still there, with blankets hung in all the windows. The whole thing just felt gross. We wanted to get the hell out of there, so we quickly packed up and left. A couple of hours after we left, I got a call from the police. They said they went out to the campsite and questioned the guy. He was simply showering. The cop told me there was nothing he could do. It was our word against his. He also questioned the people in the RV. They said they didn't know what he was talking about, but mentioned, and I quote, "a very rude camper screamed in the middle of the night." The whole experience with the police was frustrating. I tried following up. I even tried getting help from my family members, who's a sheriff, but even he said there wasn't really anything they could do unless the police chief really wanted to investigate this guy. So, that's my story. I learned a lesson about being polite when someone is making you feel uncomfortable. Nowadays, I'm much more aggressive with creepy people. I also know it's easy to hear this story and wonder why Dave or myself didn't just confront the guy, especially when he's literally masturbating at your car. But I don't know.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange deep woods and middle of nowhere horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to smash that like button. The more likes this episode gets, the more YouTube promotes it, and that helps the swamp grow its ever-expanding waters. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Be sure to subscribe and turn on notifications so you don't miss a new episode as I upload them multiple times a week in all things natural and supernatural. If you're on the go but don't have YouTube Premium but still want to download and listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, you can download them absolutely free from Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and pretty much everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without you all. Don't forget to go join me over on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Instagram, Facebook, all that fun stuff, and I'd love to see you over there.